Journeys. So Mary did a journey, approximately 70 miles. I never knew that. Always like new information, approximately 70 miles. Who here has ever been on a journey? That's an easy one. Everybody's hands gone up because we came here, didn't we? Some by car. Anybody come by bike? Whey, we have a winner. Okay, I walked. I like walking. Okay, sometimes when I go to strange places, I just walk around. You learn stuff. What I was going to talk about today changed because I walked, which is interesting. Now, what other ways can you travel? We've gone bikes, we've done cars, walking. Go on. Planes and boats. Planes and boats. Don't get me started. Motorbikes. Okay, which other ways? You been on a motorbike, Jacob?
Race cars.
Scooters. Trains. Skateboard. Donkey. Horse, of course. Who's ever got those shoes? Have you seen those? They're awesome shoes. With wheels in the back. Heelys. I want a pair of those. They're amazing. How about some weird ways of travelling? Submarine? Hey, she's got a pair. I'm jolly jealous. That's not travelling. Parachute. That's travelling, isn't it? Yeah, done that. Awesome. He's jealous. Some journeys you can do for fun. Parachute. Some people get themselves at the top of a hill and let themselves down on a bike through all the mud and dirty stuff. And then ask for a lift at 11:30 at night from Cambridge Station just to get back at home. And complains when he's tired in the morning. Journeys we've all been. Who's been the furthest? Come on, then, your longest journey. What's the longest you can go? Australia. But is New Zealand further?
Yes.
It is. Go on in. Who's New Zealand? You've been to Mars. Okay. Go on. America to England is not bad. What's the longest flight? What's about 7-8 hours? New Zealand. Did you do it one hop? No. 13. Only done 12 and a half. So journeys. 12 and a half, I went to Kuala Lumpur. Where did you go? For
Singapore.
It's a little bit further. Yeah. Okay, I lost. Not that I'm competitive, of course. Long journeys. Journeys, you see. What about in the Bible? We can have some strange journeys. What's the strangest form of transport in the Bible? Come on, really think it through. Donkeys? It's not that strange. You know, we've got some horse riders in here, so they're not that weird. The ark? That's just a boat. Some people like going on boats. Okay.
Camel.
Camel's not that strange. I've been to countries where people race camels. Go on then. Big fish. You're not going to get many. You see Joseph and Mary with the baby Jesus. Okay. It's all about Jesus at the end of the day. Okay. Maybe donkey. A little bit strange. Okay. Abs. Where's abs? Yeah. Stroked a donkey yesterday, as did Eli and I, and a pig. We actually went there to see the pig. He loves pigs. But fish, that's a strange journey. What do you reckon the longest in time was in the Bible? Longest in time? 40 years in the wilderness. That's a nice and easy one, that one, isn't it? Yeah, the Israelites roamed around for 40 years and ended back where they started from. Ever had journeys like that? Actually, we booked our holiday next year. We're going to this very strange place called Scotland. Is it? Right, thanks for that. And that's colder. But you see, when you go to Scotland, I had to inform my children it's going to be a 7 hours in one day. So looking forward to that. What about the longest distance? Who do you reckon travelled the longest distance in the Bible?
Paul.
Noah. Paul? Noah. You guys are getting it too quickly. Yeah, this may be me teaching you. Yeah, Noah. Okay. Where he started off, the planet completely changed to when he finished. So it changed underneath him. That's why he was in the boat. What an awesome story. Jesus. Did he travel a long way? Yeah, he came from heaven. Ooh. Oh. Someone's learned how to walk. Awesome. So you see, okay, I hope to go to a short journey over to the cinema soon. And when you go to a cinema, you order your ticket, don't you? First you turn up, you say, I want to see this film. But now you're given an extra option. You're given them and say, do you want this film? And what do they give you the options of? Go on. 3D. What does it mean? I love science, me. Go on. Three-dimensional. Which are the three dimensions? Go on. Who knows? Give me one. Forwards. Depth. That's the third dimension that they talk about in films because it's not normally there. What's another one? Length and width. Length and width, okay, this way. And another one? Height. Okay. So you've got height, you've got width, and you've got depth. But they're wrong. You've got a choice of 2D and 3D. No. It's actually 3D and 4D. We're all travelling in another dimension. Oh, I hear somebody mention it. It's not time yet. I've still got a few more minutes. It's time. Okay. Now, when you learn about science, time can actually change. It's really confusing. Okay. I'm just going to mention that. There, I've got it out of the way. But we mention moving time, don't we? Okay. From the little baby, we move up. He's the littlest. So cute. Learning to walk. We move from there. And some people here are big babies. Yeah. Well, when you compare eternity with heaven, it's really, we're just still children. So we can move in the four dimensions in life, and we can also move around the planet, as we've already seen. As we move along, okay, I love the canals. Let me mention narrow boats. Yeah, you can't get stressed at 4 miles an hour. It's true, you can't. On the motorway, it's 70 miles an hour, and we get frustrated when somebody reduces the speed to 68. So, come on, it's 70 for a reason. Get out of my way, please, is what I say. And every so often, we need to take a break. A 7-hour journey to Scotland, you can imagine I am going to take a break at some point, and my children probably want them more frequently. And we pull into a service station. They are lovely places. On the narrow boat, okay, there are also service stations. Narrow was put down in the 17th and 18th century, okay. And now, even now, you can go onto these motorways, these highways of Britain, and you can pull into these service stations. They're still there. They've got a different name. Anybody know the name of these service stations now? Pubs. That's what we call them now, okay. And you pull in, you moor up against the garden, and you have yourself a lovely meal. So as we go through these journeys, sometimes we get rests along the way as well. And also in life. You see, that's the interesting bit. I've got a little saying. Some of you might know it. Jesus, when he appeared in Mary, was God in a body. Jesus is God in a body. I think it's a fantastic little saying. God in a body. Then you understand who he actually was. And who he still is. He is God in a body. And as you grow up, okay, we get alive. Christ was on the cross at 33 years old, so he wasn't an old man when he left this earth. But as you grow up, we get jobs. What was Jesus' job? Carpenter. Someone said it. Sorry, you did put your hand up. What were you going to say?
Priesting.
Ooh. He was a priester. Carpenter, he's been given the credit, a carpenter, and we know that Joseph, his father, was a carpenter. I was reading through the Bible, which I've got on my phone, and it's got tags that you can open up for better translations or different interpretations of the word, and one of them was sort of maker, where he made things with his hands. Yes, we specialise now into carpenter, metalwork or whatever, but he was a maker if he took after his father's profession. What did he do? Jesus was the creator of everything. Yeah? He was the Word. He spoke and everything was there. So when he comes to earth, he takes on the same job. He couldn't give it up. He loves it. He sits there and there he is making new stuff even on the earth. Yeah? I reckon even when he was your age, he's such an amazing character. He's God. Okay. So what he's done is God came in a body. Because if he comes in for real, the Jews used to say that if you looked upon the face of God, you'd be dead. It's that awesome. Just his face is enough to go boom. So what he did, he had to come into a body just so that we could understand and so we could copy. I reckon that when he was a lad, he'd sit there, and you know when you play with mud, it's good. Yeah? You're not allowed to do it now, health and safety. But when you were younger, okay, talk to these guys, you used to play with mud. But Christ's so amazing that I'm sure that when he was sitting there and he made a mud bird or something, it flew away. Yeah? And you know when you get a bit of plasticine and roll it up and make a snail? Yeah? Christ's one kept disappearing. Off they go. Because that is who he is. He's that of a creator. He's that awesome. It flows out of him. He is life. I think that's just amazing. You see, when he came in from heaven, how far away is heaven? Ooh. I'm just going to point up here for a second. Now, I know that's meant to be a bauble, but go with me, okay? Around, you see, you've got heaven around the outside, all the way around here. The bit in the middle is everything that we see. In other words, the universe is inside the spiritual world. The spirit was first. And Jesus, then God said, let there be light. And do you know what? There was light. And 6 days later, everything else was there as well. Yeah? And then we are in the bit in the middle, right there. So I've got another little saying. We are the physical part of the spiritual world. We're the physical part of the spiritual world. Yeah? I went to Kuala Lumpur. It's 12 and a half hours away, not 13. In Kuala Lumpur, as you know, I used to do a lot of travelling. Okay, with a lot of travelling comes a lot of sitting. And I was bored. I like science. I like studying new stuff. I love learning. Even now, I love learning. One of the traits of being a teacher is you first must learn. And you're just as passionate about talking and teaching as you are about learning. So I said to God, I'm bored. What shall I learn? So he said, read up about all this lovely science. So I did. And the video he putting me to was some people, strangely enough, believe the world's only 6,000 years old. I mean, really? Now surely there must be a muppet to believe that. Because when I grew up, I was told it's 3.7 billion years old. There's a bit of a difference. So I started reading into it. That was about 7 or 8 years ago. The science that the world is 6,000 years old is so complete in comparison. But there's a big difference. There's a big difference what I was taught at school and what I was taught from the Bible and from God. And that big difference is this. It's two different creation stories. It's two different points of where you come from. Yeah? We know about the creation where you have Noah and his ark. Awesome story. I'm going to reflect back to that in a minute. But you've got the creation story that we're taught at school and what you hear on the TV. That is the atheist creation story. You need to have, to remove God, you need to have a creation story. You can't just say, there is no God and leave it there, leave that hole there. So that is evolutionism, Darwinian evolution, and billions of years is the atheist creation story. There is no mention of it at all in the Bible. Not one little bit. You have to insert another theistic religion into the Bible to get the billions of years and try to merge the two. But the creation story in the Bible is complete. Talk to me about the science. I'm sure many of you have been talked at. I love it. I think it's awesome. I keep learning new bits about it. But let's talk about Noah. That's in there. That's about 4,000 years ago. Noah, could you imagine his life? Could you imagine when God says, Noah, I want to build you a boat. I want you to be me. Excuse me. I put this up here for just this reason. I actually put it up there so Ray didn't steal it. Sorry, mate. Can you imagine, Noah, when God says, I want you to build me a boat? No, a ship. Can you imagine, as he was building it, what his neighbours said? If you can't, watch the film Evan Almighty. Awesome. Very good analogies inside that film, and it's very funny. especially when the wood came as goat for wood, because that I like that. That was really clever. So what you've got then is Noah's been asked to build this. Can you imagine the ridicule that he would have got? Noah, what are you building, mate? A shed? Actually, it's a boat. That's you, but Noah, we're 200 miles from the water. What are you doing, Noah? Well, I had this word from God. God, you don't still believe in him, do you? Yeah, come on. He was gone years ago. The world was wicked. It was nasty. There was evil everywhere. Noah still stood up against that. Not only did he stand up against it in his own heart, he put it into action. And he built this. But could you imagine the hardship, the ridicule that he would have gone through? He would have had to pay people to build this.
There's no way one man can build shit, even though he was 500-600 years old.
He would have had to pay people. He would have been a wealthy man. He would have had a high standing. And he would have gone through that type of trouble as he'd gone through. There's times when you're going through those journeys in life where you need a refuge. You need that pub along the side of the cut. I was going to say service station. Pub alongside the cut is far nicer than a service station. But you do sometimes need those service stations. James, could I have, Andrew, could I have the verse I've got? So this one I've just picked up. I was looking through the verses. Mate, there's so many verses in the Bible. That's absolutely awesome. I just sit there and just flick. Wow, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Sorry, because I've got my Bible on here. That's how I flick now. Not used to be that way. It's now this way. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Thank you. Sometimes, well, what is the Lord? What's he like? Well, I can remember going to church with my dad. My dad's a big man. Okay. Seth was with my dad only yesterday. When I was young, I used to carry my dad's hand like this. Okay. Much as his little nipper does. Fantastic. He's awesome. I can remember my father, as we're going to church, squeezing my hand. And it still is a really good memory of that time with my family. And the best journeys, of course, is done with different people. Okay. I'm going to hopefully live for a reasonable number of years, but I've already had 24 with a wonderful woman. And she's taken me through that life, and it's been good. It's not been smooth all the way, I'll be completely honest, but it has been really good, and thank you. But sometimes with Dad, I took my boys out yesterday to go and see some animals, go and see some donkeys, because that's their passion. And watching them as they were hugging a pig, well, stroking a pig, he wasn't allowed to hug it, but he would have got in there if he had the chance. It's just fantastic. That sort of attitude, your dad. Do you know, anyone in my family, I'll quite happily give up all my organs. Yeah, I'll be willing. I was thinking about this, actually. How far would you be willing to go? But would I run in front of a car to pick my son and throw him out the way and take the car? Of course I would. Of course I would. Anyone in my family, I would do that for. And that is the relationship that God wants with you. He is your heavenly father. He is that dad. He is the guy that you can turn to. He is the one that wants to squeeze your hand. He is the one that will do anything just for each one of you guys. He created the universe. He's a show-off. But too right. You've seen what he's done. Mate, it's awesome. I've seen some of David's pictures. They're brilliant, of the sunsets and things like that. That's nothing. You can go out to the vast expanses and see his work. Or you can go down all the way down to the teeny tiny and see his work. And he sits there and he said, look, I've done all this. Enjoy it. He's an awesome father, a place of rest. I just want to leave with this poem. It's not mine, but it is a great poem about journeys that some of you might know. Footsteps in the sands. One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In this scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times, there were one set of footprints. This bothered me, I noticed, because I noticed that during my low periods of life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, and defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, you promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I noticed during the most trying periods of my life, there's only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I've needed you most, you've not been there for me? And the Lord replied, The times when you've seen only one set of footprints, it was when I was carrying you. I'll leave you with that.